Okay, how's everybody doing? Great. Baruch Hashem, doing well. Alrighty, so we're on page 151. So here the topic is the residue that was assumed to be on a knife in the times of the Gemara and the Rishonim. So it sends us back to chapter 1, section 4, which I'll have you turn to, please, which on page, it really starts on page 46 at the bottom, but the Gemara is on page 47. Snon shechasacho besakin shechatach ba basar, osar l'achlo bekutach, that's a radish that you cut with a meat knife, you can't eat dairy with that. You can't eat that radish with dairy. That's not really our question, because that's the radish is a davar charif, a sharp. Honey milit snon dagav chorfe bala, that actually absorbs things from the knife. Of al kishus gerir lebe paske va'achil, cucumbers which are not sharp, you can eat that with dairy if you scrape the place where it was cut, and then you're fine. Why? Because the concern when we're dealing with cold, cutting something cold, the concern is residue on the knife. So therefore, it got on your cucumbers. You can't, if it was a fleshic knife, you can't eat that with dairy. Now, when we discussed this, we talked in detail about buying fish from a non-kosher place. We're going to come back to that in a moment. So let's go back to page 151 now. So the Beis Yosef brings the Rabbeinu Shimshon. So he says, you can see the second line down on the Hebrew at the bottom, page 151. Rabbeinu Shimshon, Hayamatir b'sakin shel basar, lachduch bo lechem, v'lecholim gevina, mishum davinat barnat. So Rabbeinu Shimshon would allow, Rabbeinu Shimshon was one of the Balei Tosfos, he would allow using a fleshic knife to cut bread, right? We're cutting something part of, and eat it with cheese. Now, why did he allow that? He says, not barnat. So it's a very strange, not barnat's talking about its secondary taste. That has to do with absorptions. Here we're talking about, I don't know, maybe he assumes that if there's residue on the knife, when it gets absorbed, when it gets wiped off onto the bread, when you slice the bread, maybe that becomes an absorption. I mean, there's two things. There's two categories in halacha. There's what's called be'en, and there's blios. Be'en means the actual substance of the food, and then blios is the flavor of the food, so which can get absorbed into either another food or into different types of kalim. So when we talk about nap or not, we're normally talking about flavor that was absorbed, but not actual a piece. Like if there's meat grease on the knife, and that's on the bread now, is that an absorption or is that meat? It's an actual substance. I would assume that would be the substance. So but it's kind of hard to understand why he's bringing in not bar not. But the main part of what we're interested in is the end of alachtoch bo gevina vare aser. You can't cut cheese with your knife. Imlona atzo bakarka sarapamim, unless you stabbed it into the ground 10 times. There's a famous kashering of meitza. If you stab a knife into the ground 10 times, oh shif shifo be'aven rach, or used a soft rock, a soft stone, obepecham, or with coal. So then you're allowed to cut cheese with your fleishig knife. Why? Because any residue that was on it after you stab it in the ground, it's gonna get cleaned off. Or if you use these rocks, and again, I think it says it's like a soft rock because, or something like charcoal, because it's gonna, like if it's just a hard rock, it might not clean your knife well, right? It's not gonna touch every surface necessarily, right? Miu beloki noach, but without wiping it, afilu lechem aser mipnei shamnunis sh'olav. So basically, it comes out, Rabbeinu Shimshon says, you're technically allowed to use a fleishig knife to cut cheese, obviously we're talking about cold, or to cut bread that you're going to eat with dairy. What do you have to do in each case to enable you to do that? Anyone want to summarize? What do you have to do to use a fleishig knife to cut cheese? What do you have to do to use a fleishig knife to cut bread?
Stab it in the ground.
Stab in the ground to do what?
To clean the residue off.
Hmm?
Clean the residue off.
Yeah, but what will that matter? What will that allow you to do?
Cut bread.
Do you need to stab it to cut bread?
Preferably.
So he says for bread you only need to wipe it. You need kinuach. If you wipe the grease off, it's enough for bread. If you stab it, you're even allowed to cut cheese with it. Okay, that's the Rabbeinu Shimshon. The Shulchan Aruch didn't seem to paskin that way. The Shulchan Aruch was on page 48. He just says you can't cut cheese with your fleishig knife. You can't cut bread if you want to eat it with cheese. With your fleishig knife. He didn't give any conditions. He didn't say, oh, if you stab it 10 times, you could use it to cut cheese. If you wipe it, you can use it to cut bread to use it there. He never said those things. So it sounds like he doesn't accept this Rabbeinu Shimshon, the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah, however, does accept it. But does he accept it fully? That's the question. He says at the end of the Shulchan Aruch, all right, the Shulchan Aruch is brought again right here, I forgot. Haggah, this is on page 152, the last Hebrew paragraph, last full line, V'chein lehepech, nami, aser, the opposite's also aser, miu, al yedei ne'itza bekarka, kasha, if you stab it in hard ground, or it's a soft ground, it's not going to clean it off, if you stab it in hard ground, shari, you're allowed to do it. So what you have here is an ambiguous Ramah, is he accepting the Rabbeinu Shimshon, his leniencies fully, saying that stabbing lets you use the knife for cutting cheese, and wiping is enough to cut bread? That's the only opinion we have about this is Rabbeinu Shimshon. That's what the Ramah says. The Shach, however, disagrees, and the Shach's opinion usually holds more weight. He's only going on the last part about the bread. Ne'itza only does not let you use a fleishig knife for cheese. You're never allowed to do that. You could do ne'itza to cut bread with your fleishig knife that you want to eat with dairy. You can cut bread. Wiping's not enough. You have to do ne'itza. So he's kind of accepting Rabbeinu Shimshon, but only for bread and a stricter, the bar is higher. Wiping is not enough. You have to do ne'itza. So we'll talk about the halacha in a second, but what you see here, take a look at the very bottom line. Why are you not allowed to do this with cheese? You stabbed it 10 times. It's not. There's no residue on there. What's wrong with it?
See, the stabbing, to me, makes it parv. Makes the knife parv. But the first time you forget to stab.
Well, what about absorptions? Yeah. We're only talking about surface.
What if you forget to make it, I call it parv, you call it whatever. If you forget to do it parv, you still have the fleishig knife and you're going to cut the cheese.
Yeah, so take a look. Well, kind of. Take a look at the bottom. I mean, there's two things here. There's when you're using the Flachic knife to cut cheese or to cut bread that you're going to eat with cheese, mm-hmm. one thing we're worried about is the thing you're cutting right now, the cheese. Is there going to be Flachic residue on your cheese? Is there going to be Flachic residue on your bread? That's one thing we have to figure out. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, well, what's going to happen after you cut this item, or at least with the cheese we have this problem, it's a Flachic knife. You're going to go, you may go end up using it again with Flachics without cleaning off the cheese. That's what he says at the bottom here. Because we're worried about that, that's why the shach says you're never allowed to use the Flachic knife. Even if you do ne'itza, you can't use it for cutting cheese because you might go back and... You know, not you'd have to do ne'itza again, right? You'd have to stab it another 10 times.
Yes.
And we're afraid you'll forget to do that, and therefore you're not allowed to do it. You're never allowed to use it for cheese. So what's the halacha here? So he says in the Sefer on page 153, you're never allowed to do that. You can never, doesn't matter if you stick it 100 times in the ground, you can't use a Flachic knife for cheese. If you do it accidentally, you have to just wash your cheese off. It doesn't asa your cheese. Now, with regard to cutting the bread, this Sefer, very interestingly, says that we hold like the Taz, who says that the Ramah accepts the Rabbeinu Shimshon completely, therefore he allows just wiping a Flachic knife off. Or if you know it's clean, it would seem to be the same thing. If you know it's perfectly clean, and then what? And then you're allowed to cut bread with it, no problem. So, bottom line, is it sounds like, and I'll see a little bit more about this in a moment on the sheet. It sounds like, according to this Sefer, at least, you're allowed to just wipe it for bread. But you're allowed to do it. Now, the Ramah concludes, and this is the basis of Minhag Yisrael, of Al-Kavar Nahagu, this is on page 153, Kol Yisrael liyos lahem shnei sakinim, lirshon echad mehem. You have two knives. The Minhag is to have a separate knife for Flachic, a separate knife for Milchik. And one of them you have to mark. So what it's talking about is scraping a simen, right? Like, let's say, scratching something on the handle or the blade of one of them. Which one do you mark? V'nagu lirshom shel chalav. V'ein l'shanos minhag shel Yisrael. You should not change a custom of the Jewish people. So what he's saying is that we have milchus and Flachic knives, and you mark the dairy. The Flachic you don't have to mark. The point is marking one of them so you don't make mistakes. So there's an interesting issue here. Does this change this thing? We just said that according to what the halacha is, you're allowed to just wipe off a Flachic knife and use it to cut bread. Does this minig that he's concluding with, does that change that? Some people say, no, yeah, you should not, unless it's in a pressing circumstances, you should not wipe off a Flachic knife and use the cup bread that you're going to use eat with dairy. There's some who say that, but others say that no, you're allowed to just wipe it off, even if it's not pressing circumstances. He kind of takes the strict approach here. He says, he has this interesting example. Let's say you need to cut a tomato or another non-sharp vegetable to eat with a dairy meal, right? So because this isn't just bread. This applies to anything parif, right? Can you use a Flachic knife? This is halacha maisa every day in the house. Let's say you're making a salad. You want to cut up, you're cutting lettuce, you're cutting red peppers, you're cutting cucumbers. Do you have to use, it's going to be eaten with milchiks. You have to use a milchik knife or a parif knife. Or can you use a perfectly clean Flachic knife? Or let's say you're going to use some of it for each. Like you're going to use some for Flachic meal, some for milchik meal. Can you just cut it up all together with a Flachic knife? So according to the way we're coming out here from this Sefer, according to the custom, you should not do that. It's only if you should only cut your tomato with a fleishik knife if you're going to eat it with milchiks, if you don't have a choice. Like, let's say you're a bacher in an apartment in a dira in Yerushalayim, right? You're learning yeshiva there, and like there's one knife in the whole apartment. You can use that to cut a tomato, and it's fleishiks. You can use these as long as it's perfectly clean. You can use it to cut your tomato. I think the halacha seems to be more makel, and we'll get to that in a second. Even if it's not a pressing situation, you could cut your salad as long as it's not onions with a fleishik knife, even if it's for dairy. Par of knives, Aruch HaShulchan says the minig really is to have three types of knives: fleishik, milchik, and parav. He says to cut bread, but again, that applies to your tomatoes and to anything else parav. You don't use it for basar, not for chalav. You only use it to cut bread or, of course, other parav foods. Okay, so let's address a couple of things before we get to this final couple sections here. So if you look on the sheet, this is an interesting question. So what about, we said sticking in the ground is a method of removing fleishik residue. So it. What about steel wool? What about scotch pad? Right, is that the same thing? So take a look. If you look on page 48, he says towards the bottom, he says, nowadays we have more sophisticated cleaning products. For this reason, many posts can maintain we do not assume that residue remains on knives that have been washed and scrubbed thoroughly. So he's talking about assuming, but and that's pretty much, if you look at the top source on the sheet here, it's Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. This is this is from a sefer of his on Shulchan Aruch, and this particular part was recorded from someone. He gave this psak orally to someone, and they record it in the book. Nirash Shifshuf Betsemer Palda. It seems, says Rabbi Yaakov, that rubbing something, washing, scrubbing something with steel wool, mahani b'makom ne'itza, helps in the place of ne'itza. So he's saying there it's equivalent to stabbing in the ground 10 times. Umestaber to yoser tov mine'itza. It's logical that it's reasonable that it's even better than stabbing in the ground. The havalei kishifshuf b'mashchezes. It's like scrubbing it with mashchezes. I think it literally is a knife sharpener. It's like scrubbing it against a hard stone. So mipia shmua, right? This is an oral tradition from Rabbi Yaakov. So what's significant about this is everybody says steel wool. Yeah, it's the same as like the whole sticking in the ground 10 times. That is obsolete. Steel wool is an equivalent, or a scotch pad, right? But what Rabbi Yaakov is saying is it's even better. So even if we'll say that, we paskin that you're really not supposed to use the bread knife, a fleishik knife to cut your bread for a dairy meal, you really shouldn't do that, even if you do ne'itza, right, even if you stab it. But if what Rabbi Yaakov is saying, that steel wool is even better than ne'itza, so maybe it would be okay. There'd be more room to be lenient to wash your fleishik knife, if you need to, wash it with steel wool, and then you can use it for uses that we would not normally allow. Take a look over here on at the bottom. There's this Zera Shmuel. It's like those last two boxes that are next to each other. This is a Talmud of Reberkowitz. Wrote this. I've definitely quoted it before, but it's a very reliable record of Reberkowitz's. Of opinions, So if you look, I think I put these in the wrong order, but if you look in like the middle thing here, it's the very bottom. There's number 320. It's the middle paragraph, very bottom. V'chein usser. It's talking about all these different things that we've been talking about. V'chein usser. Oh no, it's in the right order. Well, the first one is that. So v'chein usser lachtoch pas besakin. It's usser to cut bread with a knife. She'eno naki gamor, which is not totally clean. Shall basar kere lachalim gavina. With a fleshy knife to eat with cheese. So that's what the Beis HaKalachi quotes up there. But if you look at what Reberkowitz says in number 321, footnote 321, it's the bottom paragraph on the right. Shulchan Aruch Simon Pei Tes v'shamati me Reb Yitzchak Berkowitz Shlita. So that's Reberkowitz. I heard from Reb Yitzchak Berkowitz. Shesakin bizmaneim lo hayu nikim me shamnunis. They always had grease on them in their days, right? They didn't have the same level of hygiene. Afilu im mekancha, even if you wipe it, mikomakom lohe anaki legamri, even if you wipe it, it still wouldn't get completely clean. V'chein muchach, and he says that's what you see from the shach. Aval, so at the end, like the end of the line after the brackets, aval bizmanenu, but in our time, shayach lenako says hametiv. You can clean them well. V'yachol lachto chapas yidei la'achlem gavina. You're able to cut the bread to eat with cheese. Afilu bekivias. Even if you want to do that on a regular basis, the knife that you use to cut bread to eat with dairy, it's a fleshik knife. That's fine. Shanikoi bismanazeh yoser tov mina itza, because the cleaning methods that we have is manazeh and today are better than sticking in the ground. So this has many ramifications that I mentioned before, right? Like this means that if you want to make a salad with a fleshy, cut it with the fleshy knife. Again, like onions are an exception. You're going to eat it with a dairy meal. That's totally okay, because this is even better than stabbing in the ground. That's the ramification of, you know, how valuable or how effective steel wool is. Yeah.
Did I read someplace that a dishwasher is not good for cleaning?
It says it here. I'm not sure. Hopefully we'll get to it.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get to it. Yeah.
What would be the reason that it wouldn't be clean enough?
Look at page 151 at the bottom. Yeah. Oh, we missed this. He talks about this here too. Note that nowadays we have sophisticated cleaning products. For this reason, many posts maintain that washing with soap and scrubbing thoroughly with an abrasive cleaning pad will also remove any residue from a knife. Washing a dishwasher is not sufficient. This all depends on what we call metzias, right? On the actual empirical experience, right? If you could see that it cleans it totally, then you're okay. Reberkowitz holds that serrated knives don't get, we're still concerned about residue getting into serrated knives, so this all wouldn't apply to serrated knives. Again, this depends on what we see to be the case. Okay, I want to just show you one more thing on here before we finish up a couple of things in the Sefer. Look in the middle box. So again, this is, let's skip to the one on the bottom of the middle box. This is Rav Nebensal Shlita, former Rav of the Old City. She'ela bizmanenu. Echad shemenake heitiv sakin besari. So if someone wants to, in our time, you want to clean a fleshik knife im scotch with a scotch pad. Im hu yachol lachtoch pas lechol bo im chalav. Can you cut bread to eat with dairy with that fleshik knife? Tshuva im naki legamri mikra dinkin. If it's totally clean, then yes, you're allowed to. Right? So this confirms what Reberkowitz is saying. This confirms the salad that you're allowed to do that. Is it good to be strict? Probably, but it's allowed. Now, I want to just quickly finish. I want to try to finish this chapter. We have only a couple things. If you look at page 154, use the wrong knife. So we saw this really in detail, as I mentioned, in chapter 1, section 4. This, I don't think we saw this run. and he asks, one second. We'll see. Maybe we'll come back to this, Ron. I don't want to talk about it right now. But the bottom line, we'll talk about the bottom line, is that when you let's hold off. We'll come back to that. But let's finish off a couple other things. I want to just hold off on that. I want to go back to that because the OU program talked about fish and kept saying you have to scrape it if you buy it in a non-kosher store. That's what I want to get into a little more. But we'll wait on that. Let's go to page 157, letter B. So it says you have to have separate knives. The custom is separate knives for meat and dairy. The Aruch HaShulchan adds this applies for everything. Ukardos, ketanos, ugdolos, shibabayas, large and small bowls, shal basar levad, shal cholo levad. You should have separate for fleishik. So milk, this is all obvious to us, but this Aruch HaShulchan is the one who brings it up, lahalacha. Yasu mishnei minim, you should have two separate types. Meaning, the point is, it's not just having separate bowls, separate utensils and things for fleishik, separate for milchik. They have to look different. Right? If you have a floral design on your fleishik stuff, you should have a plain design or a geometric design on your milchiks. Right? The point is to prevent mishaps. Yasu mishnei minim, lekeira shlo yischalif. Make it for two different types so you don't get confused. V'chein bakapos umaz mazlagos, spoons, forks, v'chein kol hakelim, all utensils, olasos, charitzim, al shulchelev. Or the other alternative, they can look the same, but make grooves on the milchiks. V'chein kol yisrael, this is what everybody does. We're now going to skip to, and also, like meaning, we today it's common to have like red knives for fleishiks and green... What's the minig for milchik? Green,
blue.
Right? Blue? Green blue. Part. Blue for milchik and green or yellow for parf. Yeah. And that's the same thing, meaning it's whatever technique you need. Now let's go to the end here, 165. The Magen Avraham says, let's say you have a fleishik kli, you want to make a dairy, you're not allowed to do that. Let's read it inside. Mikan mashma, whatever he's going on. Shemutar b'chol, you're allowed during the week, lahagil kli cholav, lechol bo basar, o ipcha. So whatever the Shulchan Aruch says, it seems to be talking about Shabbos or Yom Tov, probably Yom Tov, and this where this Magen Avraham's located. On Yom Tov, you're not allowed to kasher a kli, right? That's the point he's making. But it implies during... To switch it from basar lechalav, but if you want to do that during the week, it's okay. So he says, "Olam noagin iser b'davar," but the world assumes says that you can't do this. You can't change the status of a kli. Umasha kasa b'shem hagon morenu harav Rabbi Binyamin mipuzna shashama me maharam yafe. Hatam leminig. So, what's the reason for this? Why can't you do this? Shem yasekein liolum lo yelo rak kli echad. You could just own one fork. V'yagilanu kol pam shiistamish bo. You want to eat a dairy meal? You'll kasher it. You want to eat a fleishik meal? You'll kasher the fork. V'zeh aser. That, you know, that's the problem. Why not? Dilma asi limite kedisa bechulin. So he bases it on this Gemara. You might come to make a mistake. You didn't realize you didn't kasher it back. And now you're eating the fleishik with the milchik fork or the milchik with the fleishik fork. Okay. Now, are there exceptions to this? Yes. Let's say you're kashering it to... Here it says you're kashering it to use on Pesach. Okay, you need some forks for Pesach. You're kashering them. During the year, you use these for milchiks. On Pesach, you want to use it for fleishiks. That's allowed. Let's say you accidentally used a fleishik spoon to stir your milchik soup. You have chafed up your spoon. You'd have to kasher it. You're allowed to change it in that case, too. The point is you're not allowed to intentionally change. You're not allowed to cost your something for the purpose of changing it, but if you're doing it for another purpose, you're allowed to change it in that case. The final final heter for this is an oven. Some hold that the whole minhag doesn't apply to this. You know, maybe because maybe some hold it's not a kli. This minhag only is like things that you use to eat. This is not a kli. This is like part of the furniture. It could be that there's another reason. But the point is that most people hold you're allowed to kasher an oven. If you want to cook something milchik, normally you cook uncovered milchik. You want to cook uncovered fleishik, you're allowed to kasher it to change it around. And that is halacha l'maaseh. So next time we'll talk about this issue of scraping the fish again. We'll revisit it in light of the Ran. And then finally, we will go on to the totally next section. Thanks for joining me, everybody.